we're in this fifth chapter of the book of Ephesians. Our Lord likens a wife's love for her husband and the husband's love for his wife to the love of the Lord Jesus Christ to his church. And all of those that all those that are believers, that are saved by the doing and the dying of the Lord Jesus, they comprise this one body, which our Lord Jesus Christ is the head of. He's the head, and His people are the body, and He refers to His people as the church. And He tells wives to love their husbands, husbands to love their wives, even as Christ loved the church, loved the body. This is a local visible body here, active body, a body that you can see. We're members fitly framed, joined together, one body. And there's another one someplace else, scattered all over the United States, all over the world. There's bodies like this. Not every church is the body of Christ. I mean, everything that calls itself a church is not a church. It can't be a church if it does not believe in Him whom the Scripture reveals as the head of the church. If they don't believe in Him, how could they be a church? They're an institution, an organization, a religious, but not the body, not the true church. The true church is made up of those that have been born of the Spirit of God and those who have become the recipients of the favor and grace of God and who know God in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, those people make up this church. And that's what he's talking about here. Where he says, in verse 22, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands, as unto the Lord, as you yield yourself unto the discipline of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yield yourself likewise the same discipline unto your husbands. For the husband is the head of the wife." He number one. He's boss. "Even as Christ is the head of the church, and He's the Savior of the body." Christ is the head, we're the body. And so the husband, he's the head of the wife, and Christ the head of the church. He's the Savior of the body. "Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be unto their own husbands and everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blame. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. No man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church." And over here in the first chapter and the fourth verse, which I think I read this morning, but I'll read it again. "According as He hath chosen us in Him," that's the church. He's chosen the church in Him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world, "that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. In I read over here in this verse that eventually, in verse 27, in that fifth chapter, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. And that's what He says here. That we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. That's the church. Of course, that holiness, without blemish, we're in Christ. And Christ is without spot and without wrinkle. And He's the head of the church. And we're the member. He's the head of the body. And we're the members. And we are as He is. We are holy in Him. Our holiness is in Him. Our righteousness is in Him. We stand in Him, our Savior and our substitute, captain of our salvation. Well, you go to sing another hymn? Well, let's just not sing anymore, and let me go on with this, and we'll go from there. Now, in that. First chapter of Ephesians in verse 3. Chapter 1, verse 3. The apostle said, utters the word of God that he was inspired to write, and every word that he penned is truth, all truth, nothing but the truth. And this is how it is. It's not other than this. This is exactly the way it is. He said, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath already, past tense, who hath blessed us. Well, we was blessed in Christ before the world began. We were blessed in the covenant head. He's the surety of the church, the head of the church. And we're blessed in Him. And we're in Him. He put us in Him. He chose us and put us in Christ. He said there, according as chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. So in the mind and the will and the purpose of God, we're in Christ before the world ever was. And that's how we're holy without blame. You cannot be holy, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. That's an impossibility for anyone, a sensible sinner or an unsensible sinner, a saved sinner or a lost sinner, to be in himself holy and without blame before Him in love. That's an impossibility in yourself, but it's possible in Him, in Christ. You see what I'm saying, Neil? In Christ is our holiness, our righteousness. In Him is an ample provision to meet all of our needs as sinners. In Him, in Christ. Now, I want to just say a few things to point out how each of the divine persons of the Godhead has a special interest in the body of Christ, the local visible church that we make up here. We're one of these little insignificant bodies of the Lord, insignificant to the world, but not to God, not to Christ. Christ loved the church, this little insignificant body here. We make up that body in which He's the head. And the head never hates the body. The head won't cut the body off. They're fitly framed together as one. And He loves us. God the Father loves us in spite of what we are. He loves us in Christ. He loved us outside of before He put us in Christ, He loved us. Set His affections upon us before we had being. So anyhow, we should be holy and without blame before Him in love and in Christ. And so I want to show you how each of these divine persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, has a special interest in His church. A special interest which is very significant in the fact that the Bible says that Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. That's a special interest, isn't it? That is a highly special interest, that He so loved the church, His people, that He gave Himself. When He gave Himself, that means all that He was. That means body, soul, and spirit. He gave all that He was for us. Well, God the Father, you see, has a special interest or a special property in them, for they engaged His mind, His eternal mind, I should say, for they engaged His eternal mind before time. So God the Father has a special interest or property in us, in that we were in His mind, will, and purpose before time. He chose us in Christ before time ever was. So He has a special interest in us. Now, do you think that Him having this special interest in us, and we being just little wandering, faltering sheep that walk a few steps and fall down and get up and walk a few more, and eventually God will get tired of our lame service and bad behavior and just cut us off? Certainly not. Not a God who fixed His love upon us before time ever was. He's got a special interest in us. And He that hath begun a good work shall complete it. The day of redemption. That's a special interest. Well, His interest was so great that He made a everlasting settlement for the church, for His people, with and in Christ. And to confirm this settlement, He gave this church individually, He gave them grace. Remember, I told you two or three times, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found favor. God, in this settlement and covenant engagement, God gave us grace. And that grace brought us to the living Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that grace that brought us to Christ. And He so loved us that He married us and calls us His bride. The church, the body of Christ, is called the bride of Christ. God the Father loved us. The Lord Jesus Christ loved us, that He gave Himself for us, and said He was married to us, took us for His bride. Now, that being so, therefore, this body, this church, these individuals like you and I, the believer in Christ, cannot perish because God hath made provision for us eternal safety and eternal protection in Christ Jesus our Lord. I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish. There is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall this separate, shall height, depth, or any other creature separate us from the love of God? No. He gave her grace in Christ who married her. Therefore, she cannot perish because God the Father made provision for her safety and security before Adam ever fell. God decided all that before Adam was made a being, made a living soul, before there was an Adam. That was already settled by God in eternity. He foresaw the fall of man. I mean, it wasn't a surprise to God when Adam fell. It didn't sneak upon God, and it wasn't an accident. It wasn't that God was far off in the corner someplace and Adam got out of hand and fell. God knew all about it before he fell, before he made him. In his mind and his will, he knew all about this. And he foresaw the fall of man, and by this covenant that God made, he determined that millions of members of Adam's race should be redeemed. Millions of them. A number which no man can number. Out of every tribe, tongue, and nation, they shall come. He has the shalls. And he said they shall come. God has made provision for all these millions that comprise his body, make up his body. And I told you at the outset here, when God began to work upon the heart of a sinner, he sends a sharp, pierced dart into a man's soul and convinces and convicts and slays him and brings him to Christ, who has made ample provision for all of his needs as a sinner. Why, he's lived the life that he couldn't live. Our Lord lived these 30-some years upon this earth as a human being, as a man, with the same passions that we have apart from the nature of sin. He was tempted like we're tempted, but yet he never gave in to temptation. He never sinned. For 30-some years, 33 years, he walked the face of the earth. And every step that he took and every breath that he drew was pleasing to God. And when it was all over with, and when he breathed out his last cry, God said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Ample provision for the poor sinner, Bob, who can't save himself. He can't save his big toe, let alone his whole man. Lost before God for the lack of want and interest and love of God in Christ Jesus. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ has a special interest in her because he took her unto himself, the church. And there's going to be a marriage supper sometime in the future, in eternity. There's going to be a great supper, great glorious supper, which will be the consummation of the marriage, the bride and the bridegroom. And there'll be millions and millions of blood-washed souls that gathered to that wedding supper. And every one of them will have a wedding garment on. Remember that fellow made the supper for his son? Son had a marriage. And he said, I'm going to make a big supper for my son. Celebrate his wedding. And he told his servants, he said, go out into the highways and byways. Compel these people to come in. And they had a big crowd there. And the man of the house, the host, he came down and looked the crowd over. And he spotted one in that crowd that didn't have a wedding garment on. And he walked back to him and he said, friend, why comest thou here without a wedding garment on? He had a wedding garment on, but it was just of his own making. He probably had a new coat on, but he didn't have the wedding garment that was supplied by the host. So immediately he stood out like a sore thumb. And so they said, get the man out of here. He hadn't got a wedding garment on. So every one of these that I'm talking to, that's going to have a wedding garment. You know what that garment's going to be? The righteousness of Jesus Christ imputed to us. We're going to wear that garment. And that garment, Bob, never grows old. Never gets tattered. Never gets torn. Not raggedy. Not raggedy. Like our filthy rags. He loves us. Well, now I told you this morning, we take our wives for better or for worse. Remember me saying that? Isn't that right? You take this woman to be your lawfully wedded wife for better or for worse. I do. Knowing all the time she'll never be better. She'll always be worse. That's right. The same can go about the husband if it was said there. The husband never gets any better. The wife takes him for better or for worse. She takes him for worse because she knows he's not going to get any better. And that's the way it is with us in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He takes us for better, for worse, and He knows ahead of time it's going to be for worse. Spatial interest, spatial love. The Son has for His children. And that's what I like to call it, His children. We're His children. We've been adopted into His family. Adopted. He could have adopted anyone He wanted to. But He adopted old Pat, Glenn, Bob, Martha, Jean, Gary. He adopted you. You have no blood ties to Him. You're strangers and aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. But He adopted. Took us in, made us His own children. Well, He knew He'd have no better, but He presents her, His bride, before the throne of God, unreprovable, without spot or without wrinkle. Now, the great cry of our day, I hear these television evangelists. I don't hear them all the time. Sometimes if I want to waste some time, turn one of them on. They present a pretty good show. Pretty good show. I mean, they can perform. And their cry is, and not only them, but others that don't have no program. Little old preacher. Their cry is that they say today the church is in danger. Yeah, the church is in, it's the fault, a lot of the fault of the wickedness, immorality is laid to the foot of the church. The church doesn't do this, the church doesn't instruct their people and teach their people and all that. That is the church at large, this big invisible body that never can get together. That church I'm talking about. They say that religion is at fault. The church is at fault. It's in danger. But I say not so with this church. It may be so with the church they're talking about, but not so with this church, because God in Christ has presented this church unto God without spot or without wrinkle. Pure. This church that I'm talking about. Well, you see, this church is not in danger. The church I'm talking about, the church that was brought about by the eternal choice of God before time ever was, and redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and this church that was quickened by the Holy Spirit. Now, this church is not in danger, is what I'm telling you. Why? Because this church that I'm talking about, that God loves and the Savior loves and the Holy Spirit loves, this church was built on the Rock of Ages. And she won't fall. If she had built on the sand, Bob, she might fall. Why, our Lord said, Peter, who told you what you just said? Peter said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Well, who told you that? Huh? How'd you come to know that? And then our Lord said, upon this rock. What rock? You're of the Father. You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Our Lord said, my Father hath revealed that unto you, and upon this rock I'll build my church. And this church will never be in danger, because the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. She's built on the Rock of Ages. She's firm, and she won't fall. That's good, isn't it? Well, I'll tell you this, and then I'll quit. Now, this church is both perfect and pure in Christ, her husband. And this church, over here in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 10. Turn there in Acts chapter 10. This church here in Acts chapter 10 is represented in a figure to Peter, represented in a picture to Peter in the 10th chapter. And beginning there about the 9th verse, I'll read that to you. It says, on the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the 6th hour. And while he was up there, he became very hungry. And he would have eaten. But while they was getting ready, he fell into a trance. And he saw heaven open, and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been it was likened to a great sheet, knit at the four corners, and let down to the earth. Now, he had this vision in this trance. He could see this great sheet, like a fair with four corners, being let down from the heavens down to the earth. And inside of that great sheet, or that certain vessel descending, were in all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. Now when Peter fell into that trance and saw the heavens open, and this certain vessel likened unto a great sheet descending unto him, wherein were all kinds of four-footed beasts and creeping things, lizards and worms, salamanders, alligators and crocodiles, all sorts of creeping things and fowls of the air. And he heard a voice, and the voice came from heaven. And the voice said, Peter, rise, kill, and eat. And Peter said, not so, Lord. He said, I don't eat things that are common and unclean. Now this sheet with the creeping things and the wild beast and four-footed beast, it was brought down from heaven and lifted up, and it was done three times. Three times God did that. And this vessel was received again up into heaven eventually. Now, it was to show, I believe, the equality of the love of God, the love of the Father, the love of the Son, and the love of the Holy Spirit, with all these creatures in it now, all of them, creeping things, fowls of the air, wild beasts, none of these flew out. Fowls of the air, but none of them flapped their wings and flew away. None of them crept out. None of them ran out. None of them jumped out. And none got in. And so, Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common and unclean. And a voice spake unto him again the second time. And he said, what God hath cleansed, whether it be Jew or Gentile, black, white, or yellow, if God hath cleansed, don't you dare, Peter, call that unclean. What God hath cleansed, don't call that common. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received again unto heaven. So the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, made up of all nationalities and all colors, Jews and Gentiles, black and white and yellow and red, if God hath cleansed them, and to be in his body, they've been cleansed in Christ. Paul said to Peter, what God has cleansed, don't you call common. God loves the church. Christ loved the church. The Holy Spirit loves the church. That's us. He loves us and gave himself for us. And we ought to be willing to give ourselves unto him. Live for him. Be obedient to him. Be useful. And I ask him a good bit, Lord, help me to serve this generation and be a witness of your grace and mercy to the vilest sinner. Make any difference how far he's gone. If he'll call upon the name of the Lord. Well, let's stand. We'll meet again.